church and how we're going to operate that elevator and our perspective of really seeing, God, what have you forgiven me? God, help me to understand that. You know, when we walk around in forgiveness, it's walking around as if it were we were chained and we just have this weight. And it's just with us all the time. And, you know, unless we fully experience God's forgiveness, then we can't. It's hard for us to know how to forgive others, how to release others. There's a verse in Ephesians. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Another key word here is in Christ, the word in. You know, outside of Christ, we're just hopeless. We're still sentenced to an eternity of being away from God, of having we owe God, basically. Jesus, and you know, there was nobody in here, nobody on the face of the earth has ever lived. Even King Solomon, they said, was the richest king of all the earth back then. Nobody ever had enough money to pay that debt. Nobody could ever do anything. Not enough land, not enough money, not enough education, not enough anything to pay that debt what we owed God. And the only way that debt was going to be paid is through Jesus Christ. And so that's why he says, as in Christ. In other words, it's only in Christ that we have that forgiveness. It's only in Christ. And so when we begin in Christ, when we have that, let's stay in that. Let's stay walking and realizing continually, God, it's only in you. It's only in what you've done for me. All that I have, every good thought, you know, every good thing on the face of the earth comes from God. Man does get, we don't get, nobody gets credit for that. Even if a non-Christian does good things and imitates, it's from God. They're imitating the God. And so all of the good things, everything we have is from God. And you know, when you've been through something and you share with somebody who's been through the same thing, there's a little bit of connection there. Not that we can't understand, you know, we don't, but there's just something about when we've been through what somebody else has been through. You know, it's the same thing when we compare that to the whole area of forgiveness. And the fact of when we realize how much we've been forgiven, then it helps us to be somebody who forgives. When we keep that in perspective, when we realize that somebody comes or somebody done wrong to us, to keep that in perspective, you know, not that what they did is right, but the fact of, but wait a minute, I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven of a lot, you know. And it couldn't be, well, you know, but that was worse than what I did. But, you know, the reality is forgiveness, when it comes to that, it's an absolute truth. It means it crossed the board. There does not change. You know, it's the same for all of us. And there's a short video we're going to watch here, and it's based on Luke chapter 7, and it's all on forgiveness, and Jesus was sharing this about forgiveness, and I was going to read it, and I found this video. I thought, oh, this would be cool just to listen and hear this testimony. So, Rick, could you turn the lights down up here, please, and we could watch this video, and then I'll share with you a few more things.
Therefore, I tell you, her many sins are forgiven, for she loved much.
I have lived in Nain all my life, and all my life, it seems, has been full of heartache and disappointment. I know that the choices I've made have caused me much harm, and in turn, have caused much pain for those around me. I didn't start out that way. I mean, whoever starts with one sip of wine only to become an alcoholic. Whoever plans to give herself to one man only to be had by many. My life had spun out of control, and I could find no path of escape. Until one day, a friend of mine asked me to go hear Jesus speak on the hillside. She said, he is one who teaches about love and the forgiveness of sins. Who would know about such things? But knowing that the flame in my heart had been out for so long, and knowing that I had nothing left to lose, I decided to go. Something lit up in me as I heard Jesus speak. His words were different. They were full of life and not empty promises. He spoke about the unconditional love that comes from God, a love that didn't have to be earned, a love that's full of mercy and grace, a love that doesn't judge or condemn, but brings forgiveness and freedom. And that's precisely why I went to the Pharisee's house that day. I knew Jesus was there, and I just couldn't let him leave without thanking him. As I stood behind Jesus, I heard the Pharisee's familiar whisper, "What's a sinner like her doing in a place like this?" Only this time, I didn't listen to them. I was so moved by Jesus' presence that the tears began to fall. It's as if my heart was pouring out all my wrong choices, all my bad decisions, all my shame and rejection. My soul stood bare before Jesus, and I knew I was understood. I was so overcome with love for him that I knelt down, and with my tears and my hair, I began to wipe his feet. I thought now would be the perfect time to give him my gift. And so I took out my jar of perfume and I poured the fragrant oil out onto his feet. Jesus turned to the Pharisees and said, "I tell you this day, her many sins have been forgiven, for she has loved much." And then Jesus turned to me and told me four words that I will never forget. "Your sins are forgiven." Everyone in the house began asking, "Who is this one who even forgives sin?" And then Jesus turned to me and said, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." I know who this one is who forgives sin. You see, I met him and he met me. It was there at his feet that I found forgiveness. I found my reason, and that there's reason for me. No matter the cost, I will choose to follow Jesus and worship him with all that I have. for he has saved me. He set me free. He rebuilt me. Now I will build for him.
You know, that story is still true today. That God, no matter what happens in our life, that he's there for us and he continues to forgive sin. There's a verse in here that Jesus shared. It says, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown, but whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Now, does that mean that we can't understand God and God's love unless we're a major sinner? No, it has nothing to do with your sin. It has to do with you understanding God's love and forgiveness for us. The Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, do you believe he loved God? If you ever read in the letters that he wrote, he patiently loved God, gave his life for God. And yet he said in his word, I, Paul, when it comes to legalistic righteousness, according to the law, I'm a Pharisee. And he goes, and I'm perfect. So here's a man who had a perfect understanding, lived a great, fantastic, perfect life of what we would say, and yet he knew this great love because he understood how much he was forgiven. So it comes back to our understanding of that. So why did God forgive us? Ryan shared this verse, and it's Romans 5:8, and it says, well, what it doesn't say is that God so wanted to demonstrate his power that while we were still sinners, he forgave us. That's not what it says. It doesn't say, for God so wanted to demonstrate his knowledge, or God wanted to demonstrate that we know he's a great guy. You know, that's not what it said. What it says in Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, the Bible says, or Jesus said in Matthew 24, he says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. And he prophesied this, basically, that in the end times, for us, if we could have our musicians come back up, for us, one of the battles in this end time, I believe, is unforgiveness. It's hardened our heart. One of the ways the church is called to be a light is to be a people who knows how to forgive and knows how to untangle messes. I believe that each one of us are going to find people in situations that people are walking in that unforgiveness. And it's important for us to know how to untangle that. And the key to untangling it is, first of all, they have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, there are certain things that we can teach people, certain principles that are biblical. But bottom line, when it comes to freedom in here, unless you've experienced the freedom we have through forgiveness through Jesus Christ, we can't connect. We don't know how to minister that totally. We don't know how to share that totally. It's important for us to know and fully understand that. And the only way that we can truly forgive somebody is by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it. Can you say that? Say, I cannot do it. But we can say, but Jesus in me can. Say that? But Jesus in me can. There are situations in our life you can't do it. You know, one of the greatest freeing things to admit is to come to a point is, I can't. Or, I won't. Sometimes you say, God, I don't want to forgive that person. I want to see them punished. I want to see them hurt. I want to have them feel worse pain than they've given me. I can't do this. I won't do it. You know, God already knows that. It's not like we're hiding from him. But to say, God, I don't want to do this and I won't do it. But then there's a key to say, but God, help me. Help me to move my heart so I can do this. It's like the man who brought his little boy to Jesus, the disciples, and they couldn't heal him. And Jesus said, well, it's because you have so much unbelief. And what did he say to him? He says, God. He didn't say, no, I don't. He didn't argue with God. He didn't try to convince God that he had belief and faith. He says, God. He says, help me in my unbelief. There's nothing wrong. I mean, that's part of, to me, the Christian life is calling upon God, said, help us in our unbelief. If we could go ahead and stand. Excuse me. You know, when we talk about all this, we think, finally, I was able to overcome. Finally, I was able to forgive. And next week, a verse we're going to talk about is when Peter said, Lord, how many times do I need to do this? How many times do I need to forgive? He goes, you know, now he was thinking it's pretty good. Up to maybe even 7 times. Like, wow, if I could do this 7 times, excuse me, the same person over and over again, that's pretty cool. But Jesus says, no, I'll tell you, forgive 70 times 7. So it's not like one of these things that we're going to arrive. The place to arrive to is to stay in Christ and stay in that understanding of his forgiveness and stay in that realization that God, through you in me, I can unwind this mess. I can be set free. I can receive your health and blessing for me. We're going to welcome and ask just today for the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. Just to help us. And some of you, you might be like when we first shared at the beginning there, you might feel like your life is just so wound up, it's never going to get unwound. That you just can't do it. You know, that's part of being a part of the body of Christ. It's going to somebody and saying, I can't do this. Help me. That's why we have one another, so we can help one another to be set free. So if you're saying, Lord, I'm willing to be an ambassador for you, to not only for myself to receive and understand more of your forgiveness, so that I can share that with others. But Lord, that I'm willing to even help others to walk in that forgiveness of you. If you're saying, Lord, I'm willing to be your ambassador, if you just lift your hand to him, and we're going to welcome just a fresh impartation, commission of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we would know nothing if it wasn't for you. We would not have any understanding of what the Bible says or understanding of what forgiveness is or what love is if it was not for you, Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we hear in your word that you were sent, that Jesus said you came that we might know the truth. And Jesus said that the truth will set us free. And this day, Holy Spirit, we welcome you in the midst of our spirit, in the midst of our soul, in the midst of our body, where unforgiveness has wreaked havoc or caused us just to quit. Some of us have gotten so used to it that we just decide we're just going to live there. Holy Spirit, I ask this day that there will be an evacuation from that spot, that we can walk in the power of you, God, the power of you, Holy Spirit, walking in forgiveness. Help us understand that forgiveness of you. And Lord, help us to know and be able to help others be set free, that their life might not be wasted as the enemy wants to come in and use the weapon of unforgiveness to keep ones captive and to rob them of their life, to suck life out of them and rob them of joy and healthy relationships and the very purpose you came, Jesus, that we might have life and have it to the fullest. Holy Spirit, we ask and welcome you to help us, to empower us, to stir us, God, to break our hearts, God, for ones who are walking in that. That we might be warriors for forgiveness, God. Warriors of you, Lord, of setting ones free setting the captives free as you came, Lord. Live through us, God. Live through us, Jesus. And set the captives free. We thank you for that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ryan's going to lead us in a song to close and encourage you, you are the ambassadors of God on this earth to bring ones to Him. It's in the Bible. So take that commission, live it, be it. It's a great way of life to live. So God bless you. Again, we welcome those who like to stay right in the first room back in the administration building for our Discover class. You are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. So let your light shine, let your salt be tasted. Bless you.